module 3, now that you have a basic understanding of why I designed this course and my qualifications for this course in module 2, we're now going to go over the challenges that you're going to face finding a job in ocean conservation. So in this module, you're going to learn what the job searching was like in the past and how it now compares to in the future. You're going to learn the importance of standing out from the rest of the pack, because now there are a lot more resumes being submitted for each position. You have to really, really stand out from thousands and thousands of resumes and make sure the managers remember you, the hiring managers. And then we're also going to look at 4 ways to overcome challenges to pursuing a career in ocean conservation. And the first of that was to pick one or two career paths, select the appropriate education for that career path, network within your career path field, and then of course gaining the right experience that matches your career path. So job hunting of the past was quite different from what it was now. Many people were hired right out of high school. Okay, they would start at entry level positions and they would work their way out, work their way up through the corporation, whether it be a nonprofit organization or a government agency or even a private consulting or a private firm. They would work their way up from entry level up to a manager or someone more senior and with more responsibility. So job loyalty was higher back in the past. And in the past, what I mean, we're looking at, you know, from 20 to 60 years ago. Of course, jobs were available locally, and not so many people had to move on a global level. So job advertisements were focused, within universities or community centers or things like that. It was harder to get a job that was further away from your where you grew up or where you went to university. Because most of the jobs were posted locally. And competition was low, so not as many people were in the field. Ocean conservation has really grown over the past 50 years, but it took a while for it to grow, and now more people are into the science, they're into the social science, natural science, of course, they were into fundraising, science communicators or ocean conservation communicators, environmental lawyers, things like that. More people are doing those kind of positions and that type of field, so the competition is a lot higher. So now let's look at how things compare now. Many entry-level positions require some sort of post-secondary degree or diploma. You can't just go out of high school, unless you're very lucky, you can't really just come out of high school and work, because when you apply for jobs, you're actually competing against people with higher degrees, sometimes even graduate degrees, not just undergraduate degrees, sometimes graduate degrees. The average employee will also work, 5 to 6 different companies throughout their career. To be honest, so far in my career, 11-year career, I've already worked for 5 different companies for various reasons. Job loyalty is not as high as it was previously. And of course, job locations are global. Now with the onset and boom of the internet, we can look at jobs all over the world and apply to jobs all over the world. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I applied for a job in Australia and I live in Canada. And of course, the internet has played a huge role in this, and it increases competition for jobs because now more people are aware of these jobs, so more people are applying. And now you're not looking at 100 people applying or even less. You're looking at thousands of people, if not tens of thousands of people that are looking for jobs, which really affects how you apply for a job and how you get a job. Okay, so let's look at the education. How has it really changed? Your education now really has to focus on your career path that you choose, okay? Because you can't just sit there and, get a psychology degree and then all of a sudden go into a research position in ocean conservation. Because again, you're competing with someone or with many people who have specific degrees in ocean conservation. So your education has to match your career path. And of course now, with all the different types of graduate degrees and graduate schools, somebody with a master's or a PhD probably equates to A person who has a bachelor's degree and 3 or 4 years of experience, or sometimes 5 or 6 years of experience if they're going up against somebody with a PhD. So one, a graduate school also helps you get a job and it increases your salary. So graduate degrees can actually help in terms of competing against people who don't have a graduate degree or even an education. However, a graduate degree does not mean you're going to be ahead of the competition. It could just be one way of distinguishing yourself, but it's all relative because a lot of people now have graduate degrees. They have not just undergraduate degrees, but they have graduate degrees. So someone with a master's may not compete well against a bunch of applicants who apply to a position that are PhDs, because the hiring managers will tend to take the PhDs before the master's. But if there are a lot of PhDs going for a particular job, then their thesis topic might play more of a role than the actual PhD degree. So let's just look at education, or the degree that you have, whether it be an undergraduate or graduate degree, or a diploma, and then the responsibilities that are expected of those, you know, degrees and diplomas, and then the salary. So here's a little table that I conjured up and created. You'll see on the left column you have a degree. You have the responsibility in the middle column, and of course the salary. For a person with an undergraduate degree, a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Arts, you're typically an entry-level position when you go into a government job, or you go into a nonprofit organization, or you work at a private firm or industry or private consulting. So you tend to do, if you're in research, you tend to do field work and data entry. Or if you're into some sort of policy or advocacy group, you tend to do a lot of data gathering, a lot of research, literature searches, maybe communication, things like that. So, but it's very low level. A lot of the hard work are within those positions. Can be very rewarding. Salary typically in any kind of ocean conservation job is fairly low, but of course it will be on the lower pay scale. So you're looking at between $20,000 to $35,000, maybe $40,000 at the max for an entry level position. When you have a master's of science or a master's of arts, you tend to come into the workforce at a little higher than an entry level position. Again, depending on who's applying for the job. But you tend to become either a coordinator or some sort of data analyst if you're in research. A coordinator essentially will coordinate workshops, will maybe manage smaller teams, will help coordinate events like conferences and fundraisers and things like that. A data analyst will be a number cruncher, do statistics, do GIS, things like that. And you typically earn about $6,000 to $8,000 more than what a person with a BSc or a BA would have. So you're looking at maybe starting from like $30,000 to $45,000, maybe even up to $50,000, depending on your experience. This is just coming out of graduate school, is what I'm saying. Probably between $30,000 and $40,000, or maybe even $45,000, depending on where you're working. A person with a PhD or an MBA will typically work as a manager or a chief scientist, or scientist in charge, or a senior scientist, however you want to term it. Of course, those designations, those responsibilities involve managing teams, coming up with their own research topics, maybe developing a certain program within an organization. It doesn't matter what type of organization, it all depends on your specialty, things like that. Your salary tends to be about $8,000 or more than someone with a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Arts. And I'd just put a plus at the end of that $8,000, because you never know what you're going to earn. You could earn $100,000 a year if you're working with a private consultant or even a government agency. You can be making $60,000 to $75,000for a nonprofit organization, even $100,000 for a larger nonprofit organization. It all depends on where you apply and what industry you're working in, or what field you're working in ocean conservation. Let's look at job loyalty now. And to be honest, there isn't much job loyalty. Organizations, governments, and companies tend not to commit to individuals for the long term. Okay, you tend to get short-term part-time positions or short-term full-time contracts. Okay, 1 to 2 years are the typical. Sometimes 6 months. Sometimes it's just an internship. I may not even be paid. So job loyalty is down significantly from the past. And it typically has to do with the variability in funding organizations or governments or even private consultants get. You know, now people aren't as loyal. They tend to go where, you know, they're going to get the best, employees will tend to go where they get the best benefits and pay. So it's fairly competitive within industries or even between industries. And also organizations aren't getting funding a lot, so they can't commit long term. They, even if they wanted to, they can't. They have to, you know, meet certain project deadlines and complete certain projects, but they'll do it in 1 or 2, they'll hire people on a 1 or 2 year basis just to make sure that they meet their mandates if you're government or you have a certain pledge. So because of that, all this job security has diminished, but don't let it really bother you, because you can have a very good career in ocean conservation. And in fact, working for a number of different companies may actually be beneficial for you. So I've worked with governments, I've worked with government agencies in the States and in here and in Canada. I've worked with nonprofit organizations, and I've worked with private industry and as a private consultant. So I've had the opportunity to work in each of the major divisions within ocean conservation. And, you know, I find that I'm a better employee for that because of that experience. So don't let it really diminish your outlook on ocean conservation. Because, to be honest, a lot of positions, a lot of different fields and a lot of different careers, whether it be business, whether it be science, whether it be engineering, they all are in the same boat. A lot more companies are just going short, looking for shorter term results rather than longer term. So we're going to look at job location, because I think it's important. A lot of people don't really realize that job location has to come into play, and that there's certain things you have to consider when looking at job location, because, like I said, the world has gone global and so have jobs. So we can apply to jobs not just in our hometown or home city or home province or home country, but you can look internationally for these jobs. You know, and the reason because of this too, that's actually a benefit, is because there's higher competition for jobs, you may not qualify for the job within your city, within your area. You may have to look greater than 200 kilometers away just to find your dream job. But you don't have to live near a coast to work in ocean conservation. A lot of people think that you do, but you don't, because a lot of the organizations and governments are headquartered inland. So for instance, in Canada, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, the federal government, the headquarters is based in Ottawa because that's our capital. So the government will be there. Same with Washington, D.C. and a lot of the NOAA folks. A lot of the organizations, the government organizations there are based, the headquarters are in Washington, D.C. So a lot of times you may be located in Washington or Ottawa or wherever your country capital is, because that would be the headquarters. And of course, you know, World Wildlife Fund Canada is headquartered in Toronto, which is a coast, but a coast on the Great Lakes, not necessarily an ocean. So you don't have to live near an ocean coast to actually work in ocean conservation. And you should consider the following things. These are 4 things or 5 things that I've actually considered every time I apply for a job elsewhere. Now, it doesn't really have anything to do with the position, okay, in terms of responsibilities. It has to do with what kind of life am I going to lead if I live in a new city, a new town, a new country. It's very important to consider these things. The first thing, safety. If you're moving either by yourself or with your family, you want to make sure that you and your family are going to be safe at all times. I live in Canada. It's a fairly safe country. Going to somewhere, if I work somewhere for a very, very rewarding job, but it's in a developing country that the safety standards are not the same as in Canada, I have to consider that. And if that's better for myself or my wife and their 2 kids, if we do intend to move. And of course, you have to look at cost of living differences. Cost of living differences vary around the world. Some are higher, some are lower than where you live now. These are something that you need to consider. For instance, I was offered a job in Bermuda working as a marine technician on a research vessel. It was a very, very interesting job. The pay was about $30,000 to $35,000 a year. Now, I'm not sure if you know much about Bermuda, but there's very strict rules in terms of buying houses. For instance, you cannot buy a house unless if you're a foreigner, unless it's over $800,000 or some figure like that. Now, buying a house for $800,000, they're beautiful homes, but I'm making only $35,000 a year. I'd be paying mortgage for the rest of my life. That wouldn't be an opportunity I want to do. Then you know I could rent, but renting you're looking at okay paying $1,500 to $1,800 US for a studio apartment, which essentially is an apartment in a garage. So you have one room, your bed, maybe a TV, a bit of a kitchen, which is considered a hot plate or something. These are the cost of living difference that you have to consider when you look at a job at a different location. Does your salary actually meet the cost of living that either you are used to or that you people in your country are used to? Now, some people may be able to adjust to those cost of living differences, but others might not. So you have to take into account your personal interests and how you want to live in this new place. And of course, real estate. You know, I mentioned a little bit about, you know, if I had to sell a house here, or you know, and buy a house, or where I'm working now, or where I'd be working in a new location. You know, it'd be there's a lot of things you have to consider, like land transfer tax and paying real estate agents and paying. There's a lot of hidden costs in buying a house, like home inspection, things like that, on both sides. And there's moving and things like that. So there's a lot of things to consider. And of course, speaking of moving, you know, do you get a moving allowance from people, from your employer? A lot of union jobs or government jobs, they may pay for your to move. You know, pay for your movers to come pack up your stuff and put it in. Put in a truck and drive it to where you're going, or on a boat, or wherever, air. It all depends on where you're moving. But a moving allowance could come in handy because a lot of organizations, they won't provide a moving allowance. And they may not even provide an interview allowance. That's something to consider. I've had to pay my own way, my own flight, to an interview for a nonprofit organization before. And I've also had interview flights paid for me to go down. But when you pay for an interview flight, you know, you're paying for a flight, you know, you're paying $300-$400 for a flight for a job that you may or may not get. So you have to find out if that is worth the risk. If you don't get the job, is that worth the risk? So it's definitely something to consider. Job competition has changed, of course, because again, the internet has increased the competition for jobs because more people are aware of the jobs in different places. And employers get thousands of applications per day. So you can be going up against tens of thousands of people. You know, so you have to separate yourself from that pack. And you also have to worry about separating yourself. You have to worry about computers that filter for keywords. Similar to what search engine optimization is for internet, where you have to put keywords so that you get searches and you're up on the Google list and you're on the front page. Well, it's just as complicated for a resume. You have to match certain keywords in the job advertisement so that those computers will pick it up and they will send it off to the managers, because managers can't look at 10,000 applications. They just don't have the time. They have to do their job and they have to find someone to help them with their job. So they use technology with computers to filter through and databases to filter through these keywords before they even get it. So they don't have to worry about looking at a resume that may not even, you know, have the same qualifications as on the actual job advertisement. And one thing that you need to know is your job applications must be precise and to the point. And that's because there are thousands of resumes coming through email and you need to stand out from the pack. So a manager will pick up a resume, read it for about 10, look at it for about 10 seconds, and then either pitch it to a pile that they're going to call you or they're not going to call you for an interview. And it's about 10 seconds. So be precise and get to the point. Be clear in how you qualify for these positions, and you'll get an interview from that. Your chances will increase from getting an interview. Now let's look at the four ways that you can overcome these challenges and follow your dream career in ocean conservation. So first, focus on one or two career paths. Okay, it's the number one priority when considering your career. You want to just focus one or two. Okay, you don't want to focus more than two, maybe three at the most, but you really want to focus in one or two, and they should be somewhat related, because what it does, it allows you to pick an education path that will be right for your career. Again, going back to that example, you don't want to start an education in psychology and graduate with an education in psychology and then go into ocean conservation where you're trying to do ocean research, scientific research. Maybe science communication would be better, but you wouldn't beat out somebody with a communication degree or diploma. So education is really important. It's going to help you with your experience path. So gaining the right experience, the appropriate experience for the job that you want. Okay, other experiences that don't relate to those jobs just won't qualify you for the exam, for the interview, or for further jobs. And it's also what it does that focusing on one or two career fields will actually focus your job search so that you can find the right jobs. So, for instance, an example, when I graduated university, I applied to over 400 positions. And I applied to anything. I applied for executive director positions. I applied for admin assistant positions in ocean conservation organizations. I applied as an aquarist. I applied for science research. I applied for positions where they required a PhD. I applied for everything. And I may have gotten a 1% response rate. But what was happening is I wasn't, because I was applying for so many, I didn't take the time to customize my cover letter and my resume to each position or each job advertisement. If I had done that, if I had picked one or two career paths and I said, okay, these are the ones that I'm going to apply for, I would get less positions coming available, but I would be able to spend more time on my customizing my cover letter and resume to apply for those positions. So I'd have more quality than quantity. But the quality is better because those are the what gets you the job. And when I started to focus on this type of thing, that's when I started to get callbacks. And that's very important. Looking at education, again, the education is the basis for your career. When you see a job advertisement that says knowledge in blank, fill in the blank, that's where your education comes in. Whether it be ocean planning, ocean conservation, marine biology, oceanography, science communication, any kind of knowledge in that's where your education comes into play. And again, when you pick your career path, you want to determine your degrees and diplomas you need to follow that career path. Everything you do once you pick that career path, your education and the other things we're going to go through all have to do with following your career path. So they are all related. So finding your career path is the most important, but making sure that you have the right basis of knowledge in for your career is extremely important. So you want to search the programs where you can gain any kind of experience, real world experience. So if you can do a co-op, that'd be great. If you can do some sort of graduate degree that requires you to do some sort of interning or a co-op program again, that's where you get the real world experience, and it puts you ahead of the game when you graduate, because experience really counts, and which we're going to go through in a second. And of course, you want to take your time to search for the right school and the right education. Okay, this is what's going to determine your entire career after this. Okay, so we're going to go through, these are all going to be in modules, but we're going to go through specifically how to search for the proper undergraduate school and graduate school. You're going to look at also networking is extremely important. It's been done for years, and what networking does is it allows you to buy, sometimes it allows you to bypass the regular application route and go right to some sort of interview, whether a job, whether an organization is looking for someone or not. What it does, it tells you that it's really who you know, okay, in this organization, in this business that gets you the positions. It's your chance to networking gives you a chance to connect to your dream job. Because what happens is if you're looking for, say you're looking for a job, okay, and there's certain organizations that you like or a certain government organization that you like. Well, you can contact your network and say, "Hey, does anybody know so and so who works here, or anybody know someone who works for a particular organization or company? And I would like to work here." And if the person in your network really knows you well, which they should, then they will talk to somebody at that organization that they know in their network and say, "Hey, look, I know Andrew. He's really good. He wants to work with your organization. He thinks it's a great organization, and he thinks he can really help you out. Would you have the time to sit down for a coffee or a lunch or something and just discuss potential opportunities?" So this can help you. Your network can actually build, and help you get jobs without applying for the position or even not even having a position to advertise. Decreases your competition and decreases the time you spend on actually doing a resume and cover letter, and it allows you to just go right into the interview process. So that's very, networking is very important. And it, what it does is network builds relationships. So when you start building a network, you don't go to somebody and say, I'm looking for this job. Do you know anybody who can get me this job? No. You build a relationship. You get to know the person on a casual basis. You get to know what they do. And through time and specific tips and tricks and techniques, you build trust and you build a reputation with your network that will allow you to gain jobs or gain to access to people who and hiring managers who can give you a rewarding career. What you often know too is networking used to be done in person, but now it's done online too. So essentially you can scale your network from maybe 10 to 20 individuals to hundreds, maybe even thousands of individuals that you can keep updated all the time and keep in contact all the time, which increases, again, your jobs of potentially getting a job, your odds of potentially getting a job, sorry. And you look at the last sort of way to overcome the challenges in finding ocean conservation, you're looking at gaining the right experience. Experience is what qualifies you for the job. Okay, so in a job ad, you're going to see, the applicant must have experience in whale research. Okay, well, if you have experience in sea turtle research, it may help you get that job, but somebody going up against you who has experience, specific experience in whale research, will get the job over you because they have that specific experience. So getting the experience is tricky, but sometimes getting the experience will actually help you just get right up in front of that resume pack and in the hiring manager's face. They would love it. So one thing to realize is university and schools and education builds critical thinking, but experience really builds critical job skills. And what I mean by job skills is I mean time management, project management, dealing with, working in teams or working by yourself. These are all things that you see on job advertisements. You need, a lot of people don't have that. You can't go to school to get this kind of experience. You have to actually work a little bit and build this kind of experience to build a better resume, a stronger resume, and a stronger career in the future. A lot of times you get these on entry-level positions. Sometimes you don't even get them. You have to ask for them. They don't even just give it to you. But if you show an initiative, they will actually give you this stuff. But it helps you build for your career in ocean conservation. And of course, employers seek specific experience. Okay, they look for, specific research in whales, if that's what the position is, or specific research in sea turtles. So if a number of people apply for a job and they all have experience working with sea turtles, well, maybe the ones that help, rescue eggs, because that's what the position is going to be, is rescue eggs off a beach, compared to working with sea turtles, but more on the advocacy level, it's less hands-on. Well, the person with the more hands-on experience will beat out the person with the less hands-on experience. So just because you have experience in an area, it still has to be specific to the job. So you really got to focus on that. And you also have to work at gaining experience in getting that type of work experience. So you want to make sure you have the right experience for your career focuses. So we've gone over what searching was like, 30 to 40 years ago. And we've gone over how the internet has changed job searching now. And we've also gone over some of the challenges within that. But the past four slides, we've gone over how to overcome those changes. And in the next four presentations, the next four modules, you're actually going to see more in-depth information on each of these four ways to overcome the challenges in ocean conservation. So I'm going to see you then. I look forward to seeing you.